Thank you for tuning in to Mental Health Wealth. My name is Key Ford. I'm the host. We like to start off every show by stating that anything that you hear here related to mental health, if there is something that you're experiencing, make sure that you don't diagnose yourself by what I'm saying, but go and seek help from a provider. Today, we're going to finish up our segments about communication. We've looked at the foundation of communication about using tone and about using proper rate of speed, creating that psychological safety for those that we communicate with. And now we've looked at also the different type of communicators, whether they be passive communicators, whether it be aggressive communicators, or it's assertive communicators. And now today, I want to look at something a little more inside of the communication realm, but dealing with relationships in respect to fighting. Now, I'm not saying physical fighting. I'm not going to teach you how to street brawl and fight, but I want to make a way for us to realize that there's proper ways for us to communicate even while we're fighting, and for us to make sure that we preserve the relationships, because there are many times people get into fights, whether it be people who are dating, whether it be friendships, whether it be marriages, and we don't know how to communicate properly when we have those problems. It is far-fetched to say that, you know what, I'll never fight with my spouse. I'll never argue. Now, you may have the magic relationship where you've never done it. There's only one friendship that I have where I can say in my 36 years, and I've known my friend since the third grade. I mean, I'm 36 years old. He and I have never raised our voices at each other. We've never argued. No matter how much crazy stuff that I have done, he's always been by my side. He is the only person that I have never, ever had an argument with or never raised my voice. Well, I say that, then I think about Adam also, who's filming me right now. Adam and I have never had a problem like that neither, but that's besides the point. But I just think of like a super extended long relationship of people that I've never had a problem, never raised our voice. But I want to look at fighting and what we can do and how we can communicate better when we have those problems. Because again, you may run into relationships where you're going to have problems, and communicating appropriately to get the job done. You know, there were times that we can see in the Bible where there were those who were going out preaching the gospel message between Paul and John Mark, and they had to separate ways because of certain situations. But at the end of Paul's life, Paul said, "Bring John Mark because he's considered valuable to me. Now I can use him." But let us look at some of the rules. Now, when it comes to communication and fighting, when it comes to putting things out there, before you begin, ask yourself, why do you feel upset? You know, a lot of times arguments happen, and at the end of it, you don't even know why you're arguing. It could be something as simple as, well, you know what? You left your dirty underwear on the floor and didn't put them in the hamper. Or you left something in the car. You did X, Y, and Z. It could be something small, but because of what we have been internalizing for so long, now those dirty clothes that are on the floor instead of the hamper are not just dirty clothes on the floor and that are not in the hamper. It's become World War III. We have to be better about communicating so that we don't have to internalize things, but we can get those things out and be beneficial to the relationship that we're in. There's a statement here. I want to read. And again, I have to give the credit to Therapist Aid. You'll hear me mention that all throughout the podcast, because a lot of the things that I use in my therapy sessions, I'll take a lot from there and help children and help adults to utilize these things. I want you to notice what it says. Are you truly angry because your partner left something out? Or are you upset because you feel like you're doing an uneven share of the work, and that is just one more place or one more piece of evidence? You know, take time to think about your own feelings before you start an argument. That is such a big thing. And as I stated, is it really about that? And if it is, what can you do to change those things? Instead of just again, internalizing, take a moment to think, is this a battle that I even want to fight? Is this something that's going to be profitable for us? Or is this something that's going to be, that's going to put us back? But again, if you've gotten to the point already where it's so far off that, hey, that I've internalized so much that I just need to get it out, I'm a big advocate for releasing it, but releasing it accordingly. You can be angry, but don't sin. That's what the Bible teaches us. Be angry, but sin not. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32. You can be angry. You can be angry about things, but it's the actions that come after it. You shouldn't be so angry as a Christian that you result to cursing your spouse and that you can't dwell with them because of the small things. If it's something that small that sets you off, there's something bigger that you guys need to talk about. And you may need to seek help. You may need to seek counseling and definitely need to lend thyself to prayer and to surrounding yourself with those who can help you out with these things. Now, when it comes to communicating and dealing with problems and fighting, if there's more than one issue, discuss one issue at a time. You know, so often it becomes a back and forth banter. You did this, and then you did that. Or it's you did this, so I did this, and then you did this, and then I did that. It's always say, it's like playing Tetris. You're stacking up problems on top of each other. But no, if there's a multiplicity of problems or a multitude of problems, take one problem at a time. Address each thing individually instead of just saying, hey, we're going to throw it all out, word vomit on the table, put everything out. No, one thing at a time. If it truly is about dirty underwear that's on the floor and not in the hamper, men, pick them up. Don't just, you know, consider her feelings. And when you get done showering, you're about to just go to bed for the night again, and you feel like you see those underwear that are visibly on the floor, and you know it's gonna upset your wife. You know what? Get up, throw them in a hamper. But again, you need to be aware of this. So the person would need to make it be known that, hey, I have a problem with this. So often when it comes to problems, we'll minimize, we internalize, and then again, you have the big blow up. But when you're tackling these things, if it's more than one thing, be a listener. You know, we discussed that on our Communication 102 about listening and taking things in instead of just saying, oh, well, you always say this, or you always complain about something. Well, chances are, if a person is always complaining about and it's the same thing, that means that things haven't changed. So if a person continues to say the same thing is the problem and said thing hasn't changed after saying it 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 20 times, we need to look at ourselves and say, man, maybe I am doing wrong. Maybe I have made the mistake. And maybe that I need to let her know that she's communicating it to me, right? And I need to go ahead and take heed to what she's saying and put my things away. When we are fighting, we also have to make sure that we don't use any degrading language. And I wish I could tell you that before I became a Christian, and that I didn't say anything that I regretted to my wife. I can remember one like it was like I called like a bold-faced lie or something one time. I was so angry. And I used those words, and I can still remember that because I've never said it to her again. And just talking with her, and if we had a disagreement about something, and I remember I was just very upset about and the way that I said it, and it hurt me to my core when I realized what I said to her, like the type of liar I called her, and just like because I was all the way upset. She definitely didn't deserve it. And again, I wasn't a Christian at the time, not excusing my behavior, but she definitely didn't deserve it. And I can remember just shouting that out and then just feeling real bad about it at the end. You know, we can talk to each other without having to put down or degrade one another. But sometimes we're so hurt that we want other people to feel that same hurt. I can't believe you did this thing, so I want you to hurt like me, so I will say whatever to you to make you feel low, to bring you down to my level, and then I'm happy that you're there. That should never be the case. No one should use degrading language. We shouldn't put ourselves in a position where we're trying to project our negative feelings onto somebody else. We're supposed to uplift our spouses, or we're supposed to uplift the people that we're around, whoever the case may be. If we're using language that is not becoming of a Christian, if we're using language that suggests that they are nothing, we're talking about God's creation. And God said everything that he created was good. And so we have to realize that when we're going to fight, if we're going to communicate, can't be any degrading language. Talk to that person as still a human being. You know, I always say to married couples, so often I believe people forget the fact that they are married and you still have to want your spouse to go to heaven. If you're mad at a brother or sister in Christ, you still have to love them enough to want them to go to heaven. So you shouldn't degrade them and treat them as less of a person, even if you're angry. And I know you'll say, well, Key, sometimes I get angry and I don't know. I lose it sometimes. We have to work on that. You know, we discussed that on our anger series already, that anger can sometimes take you over. But again, there's nothing wrong with being angry. It's the actions that come after it. If we're going to act on those things, it's never going to get us anywhere. So we have to watch the language we use. No degrading language if you're going to be communicating to your spouse. We have to express our feelings with words and take responsibility for them. Now, that's a big one. Sometimes we do not want to take responsibility for our actions and the things that we say. And so it's easier for us to point out everything that somebody else has done wrong without us saying, hey, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry that I let things get to this point. I'm sorry that I was not being the husband I should be. I'm sorry that I didn't pick up behind myself. And then, you know, whatever the case may be, we have to take responsibility for our own actions. Now, we're going to talk about this a little bit later. Well, I guess I could bring it into this point right here and not have to worry about it later. You know, there are I statements that we have to consider. How I feel. That's very important when you're dealing with communication and you're fighting and you need to repair things. I statements. You know what? We fought about something. You know what? I feel sad when you talk to me that way. And I feel hurt when you neglect my feelings. You know, it puts you in a position where your feelings can be validated and you're not blaming someone for what they've done, but you're simply stating how I feel. We need to try more I feelings when we have these problems. Because if I simply state, I feel nervous when I'm speaking as a wife. If we're having problems, and again, I don't mind putting myself out there because it's things that I heard my wife say and that things that we've been through. Like I would leave and sometimes if I'm working and I don't check in, she will say, well, I feel scared when I don't know where you are. And so and then when I call and you, yeah, I'm like, well, babe, I'm fine. You know, you don't have to worry about me. And she's like, look, I feel scared. I need to make sure that you're okay because I haven't talked to you. You know, she's letting me know that she is. Her feelings need to be validated. And that also that she has a concern. So I have to validate my baby's feelings and I have to say, okay, well, baby, I'll do better. So now I make sure that I check in. And again, this is something that happened years ago. Now we have these smartphones where now she knows where I am because we share location. So I'm thankful for that. So now that's something that helps that she'll know that as long as the phone is moving, hopefully nobody's hit me over the head and took my phone and drug me somewhere. But she know as long as she can pinpoint where I'm at, she can find me. But I had to grow to that point of respect her because there would be something that would come up in an argument. Like, do you not trust me or something? In my mind, I'm like, you don't trust me. And in her mind, she's just saying, I just want to make sure you're okay. See, there was a miscommunication. And she validated herself with her I statements of saying how she felt. And it made me realize that, hey, Kefoy, you're in the wrong. Again, those are the things that we have to focus on. Those I statements. Don't blame. Don't point fingers. Take responsibility for what we do with our own actions. And again, express yourself with your I statements. I feel when you, because of, that's, you can fill in the blanks. So that's one, that's a little extra, a little free for nothing. So make sure if you're fighting, if you're having problems, when you're talking those things out one at a time, use your I statements. All righty. Now that one, next thing, taking turns talking. You know, I've already said expressing yourself and taking responsibility, but taking turns talking. Nothing gets done if we're both over talking one another. If we're both yelling, if we're just screaming to the top of our lungs. If you look at, there's a framework that I use for working with children and also for working with adults. It's called the ARC framework. And one of the things that we look at with ARC, we look at attunement. Attunement, and they speak about the fact of your red ball. The red ball represents how high things get or how heated things get. And sometimes in our relationships with one another, we can be talking with one another and our red balls can be going up, 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 up. And when that red ball gets so high that when neither one of us can reach it, there's a problem. So if we take turns listening to each other talk, when that red ball goes up high, one person puts the hand on the ball, then another person puts the hand on the ball, and we have to bring the ball down. That's what happens when we take turns and we're putting everything out there. We're able to manage each other's red ball and we're able to help each other to understand each other. Because again, over talking people doesn't help you do anything. It doesn't help you get to the root problem, and it doesn't show that you value what the person is saying in front of you. So we have to realize, take turns. Don't interrupt, even though you may want to say something badly. You may feel that what they're saying is not right. Take time to listen to the whole thing. Take time to hear that person out, whether it be spouse, friend, and especially your children also. Again, I made the statement on Communication 102 that a lot of times we view children have been viewed as they need to be seen but not heard. It's going to be sad if we don't extend these same graces to our children. Children are just little people. And if grown people don't like not being heard, what do you think little people who are not being heard are going to do? When little people can't express themselves, if you say, I'm the adult, you just shut up and do what I say. We need to listen. Now, I'm not saying don't be the adult, because you have to be the adult. But again, bringing children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6, involves me even extending these same graces to my children. But that's something we'll talk about on a later date. Now, no stonewalling. When you're fighting, a lot of times there are people who will do the silent treatment. Now, as a kid, I loved the quiet game. I used to love the quiet game because you sit there and you don't say nothing. You see who can be quiet the longest. But a lot of times in relationships, if we play the quiet game, nothing gets done. That is something that is very counterproductive to a marriage or any relationship. It hinders all forms of communication because you may not be ready to talk about it as soon as it happens, but you shouldn't stonewall a day, 2 days, 3 days, a month, a year. There shouldn't be a stonewall like that. Now, I know people who are in relationships that way, and I know people who feel that way. Well, you know what? This person, that my husband made me mad, I'm not going to say anything to him. I'm not going to cook for him. I'm not going to do this. But then we'll go somewhere else and to where people will hurt us and give us bad information, and we'll open the window and let them in. You know, there was a book that I read, and I wish I could think of the name of it right now, but it gave me a great sermon idea about windows and walls. A lot of times people will put up walls and try to block God out, but they'll give windows to people who don't mean them any good. The same thing is true with relationships among ourselves. We will extend windows to people who don't need to be there, and we'll stonewall the people who are supposed to be there. It shouldn't be that way. So when we're communicating, if we're fighting, we need to realize that stonewalling doesn't solve the problem. And again, there's a difference in communication when it comes to when people may want to talk about things. In my relationship, if I do something to my wife, I want to talk about it right then. My wife is not ready. She may not be ready for a day. And you know what? That bothers me. Because if there's a problem, again, I'm ready to go ahead and talk about it. And again, I'm not telling you anything that she doesn't know. We talk about these things all the time. And she'll say, I'm working on it. Because it just bothers me so much when if you're upset about something, if I didn't cook your chicken right, or if I did something, I don't know, I'm the perfect husband, so I don't know if I do anything bad. Well, that's sarcasm. I don't know if I do anything bad, but if something does happen, I like to talk about it right then. I don't want to put up a wall because I want to fix it. But then guess what? I have to learn the way that she communicates and say, okay, she's not ready right now. Maybe she'll be ready tonight. And then when we finally talk about it and she expresses herself and I let her get it all out, guess what? We're back rolling again. And rolling as if nothing has happened. That's the way that we should be. And again, I have to learn on my end also to not grow angry or grow weary because she says, I need a moment. But again, stonewalling should not be the thing that you do and just say, well, I'm never going to fix it. I'm just going to put this wall up and we're not going to talk about it. You're going to damage any relationship, whether it be marriage, children, or whatever the case, you're going to damage their relationship. Now, no yelling. This is a big one because again, somebody said, well, Key, I just get so passionate and I'm just so angry. Try not to yell. Try to keep yourself calm because again, when one yells, think of it this way. Let me pull that thought back. When one yells, I'm a pretty big guy. And if I'm standing in front of my wife and I'm yelling and I'm hitting my hand and I'm doing this and I'm very animated. What is she going to think? Where's her psychological safety at this moment? Well, my husband is angry. He may be so angry to the point this time that he may hit me. And you could be a husband who has never hit your wife or anything, but because of the fact of you're so angry, she don't know what's going to happen. So guess what? She may check out. She may end up trying to put up a stone wall for that moment. Your job as a husband is supposed to make her to feel secure and provide her that psychological safety that she can talk to you. So no yelling. I'm not just saying this to husbands. I'm saying it to wives also. Be conscientious of your spouse. No yelling. Let's be respectful to each other. If things get too heated, take time out. Take a moment. Chill. If you have to leave the house, go get you some Baskin and Robbins. Go get you some coffee. Go work out. Go do something. But come back to that problem to make sure you take care of it. In communication, you may have to take that small break so that you can do good. You know, the Bible tells us even that, you know, that you separate for a moment, but it's with the intent of coming back. It's not to be gone forever. There's much wisdom that we find in Proverbs. It's better to dwell on the housetops than in the home with a brawling woman. You know, sometimes you may have to separate yourself to just let things cool down. And if I butchered that verse, I do apologize. My mind is going all over the place at this moment because I'm passionate about what I'm saying because I've lived through these things. And now that I look back at it and say, man, Keith Ford, you was crazy that some of these things that you have done in your marriage before. And again, I'll say that being transparent because I'm not perfect. Notice what I said, I have done, but not continuing to do because I want communication to be better. I want my children to see how much their parents love each other and how they continue to be together through no matter what. We're playful in front of our children. We're affectionate in front of our children to show them that, hey, this is how it is when two people love each other and they love God, most importantly. And look at our last thing about when it comes to fighting, attempt to come to a compromise or an understanding. When it's all said and done, when you have poured all the pieces on the table and you're trying to put everything back together, you need to have the mindset to say, what is our, where are we going from here? How do you feel? Something I would advise, do a check-in. What, 0 to 10. How do you feel? Well, I'm a 5. Okay. Well, what can help you get to a 6 or a 7? Well, maybe if we argued next time, you know, you didn't yell at me, or you didn't do this, you didn't do that, or, you know, anything like that. But then what's the compromise? Whatever said thing that you were arguing about, what's going to be the compromise that drives it going forward? What's going to be the understanding that you guys both came out of the argument with? Because that's going to be something that's going to be very vital. So we have to have that mindset that if we're going to fight, we're going to fight the correct way. Now, there's a book by John Gottman. I think it's a very wonderful book about marriage. He lays it out really, really well. I think it's called The 7 Principles of Marriage. I want to make sure of that, because I got it right here, and I keep a copy of it. I want to make sure. I think it's the seven Principles of Marriage. Man, it's a great book. If you are going through something in marriage, man, read the book. Read it with your spouse. I read it for school, and it ended up being something that was very, very good just for me to read. And then my wife ended up picking it up after we went to therapy last year. And so learning how to fight, learning how to communicate during a fight is very, very important. So when I hope these segments about communication have given you a foundation. And again, there's much more that we can say about communication, and these are the routes that I've chosen. I've chosen just the basics and just to look at these things, because these are the areas that I believe that we spend a lot of our time in. We spend a lot of our times trying to build relationships, fix relationships, maintain relationships. And if we are not careful, our communication can destroy everything that we have tried to build. A lot of times, we don't know how to say things the correct way. But if we have the foresight and the knowledge of who we're dealing with, it'll help us a lot. It'll help us to grow. It'll help us to know how we need to communicate. Well, I said another mouthful. I thank you so much again for always coming to sit with us.